Here's Skip Heitzig with some advice on how we can help people with their problems without becoming judgmental.
First, remove the plank from your own eye. It's good advice. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. When we confess our own sins, when we deal with our own sins, it helps other people because we're more interested then in restoring them than destroying them. We deal with our own. We confess our sins.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
There are some people we expect to be judgmental. Judges, for instance, or professional critics. However, isn't it sad that Christians are also among those that people just expect to be judgmental? Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig shares with us how we can know when the right time is to judge and when it's the wrong time. More importantly, he'll help us discover how we can be known more for our care than our critiques. And we'll get started with today's study in just a moment. But first, we wanted to remind you to take advantage of that special offer of the latest Bible study series from Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose. Here's Skip.
Every month on The Connection, we have a special feature called First Friday. And what this is a special interview with another person of interest in the Christian community. Well, this month, for our First Friday interview, I had the opportunity to sit in the studio with my wife, Lenya, and her co-author, Penny Rose, to talk about their Fresh Life Bible Study Series. Now, this series is designed to encourage and challenge women to live according to biblical truths so they can overcome isolation and fear. You can order the two Bible studies discussed in our interview, Live Intimately and Live Fearlessly. Here's how.
20 minutes a day. You can toss that many minutes away very easily. Lots of things compete for your time. But 20 minutes a day can begin to make a real difference in your life if you spend that time learning to live intimately.
Live Intimately is a new Bible study book from Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose. These lessons from the upper room take you to the final instructions from Jesus. You can live intimately. Start today, devote 20 minutes a day, and you'll begin to draw closer to the life with God that you desire.
And now you can get both books in the Fresh Life series for only $25. That's Live Fearlessly and Live Intimately for a special low price of $25 for both books. Or purchase each book separately for only $14.99 from the Connection Resource Center. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or you can order online at connectionradio.org.
You know, contrary to popular opinion, unlike a judge or a professional critic, it's not our job as Christians to be judgmental or critical. While there are times when we'll have to do that, it's not what we should be primarily known for. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and let's join Skip Heitzig as he continues to address the very serious issue of judging others.
So what does it mean when Jesus says, do not judge? The word, Greek word, krino, is a word that means judge or discern or evaluate. It doesn't mean don't assess people. It means don't judge them harshly. That's the idea. Harsh judgment, bitter judgment. It describes a self-righteous person who's hypercritical of others and judges the motives of people without having the full information. Jumping to a conclusion, not having the information, not knowing the motivation. In other words, this person is by nature a fault finder. Or you might call him a sin sniffer. You know any people like that? As soon as they come into an assembly of Christians, it's I'm going to find a sin right now. They're like the gospel Gestapo. You know, it's like they're God's policemen. They think the worst. I can imagine a few examples of this. Snap judgments, judging motives without knowing full information. Let's say you see somebody eating out. You see him eating dinner out a lot, and you think, but how can they afford to eat out so much on their income? Well, maybe, just maybe, they've been given some gift certificates. You don't know. Or you go to somebody's house. Gosh, she keeps such a messy kitchen. Well, maybe she's made a decision to forego the cleaning of the house to spend more time with the children. Or let's say you say, boy, that person gets up so late. He's so irresponsible because he sleeps in every day. Well, could it be that he has a night job? Or could it be that he's a night person and not a morning person? You don't know full information. So to make snap judgments based upon what you see briefly in behavior could fall into this category. Nat Farrell was a man from Birmingham, England. Nat had a heart attack. Went to the doctor. Doctor said, Nat, no work. Don't work. Kick back. Relax. Stay home. He did. Until he got an unsigned letter from a neighbor. By the way, just a note of personal advice. Whenever you get a letter that's unsigned, just don't even read it. Throw it away. He made a mistake and he read it. And it said, get your weeds up. We in our neighborhood keep our gardens clean and tidy. You have time and money on your hands, Nat. Clean up and tidy up your garden or we will notify the proper authorities. Well, Nat was afraid he'd lose his home. The authorities would be contacted, so he got the lawnmower out and started pushing. It was a hot day. He collapsed in 2 minutes and he died. He died. He wasn't being lazy. He wasn't putting something off. He wasn't being negligent. He was sick. And yet his motives were judged. Solomon said in Proverbs 18:13, he who gives an answer before he hears the matter, it is a folly and a shame to him. Get all the information. One poet said, judge not the workings of his brain, and of his heart thou cannot see. What looks to thy dim eyes a stain, in God's pure light may only be a scar brought from some well-won field where thou wouldst only faint and yield. So we are not to judge for condemnation. We are to judge for identification. You will know them by their fruits. We'll get into that more later when we get to that text. Now, let's go back to our text here in chapter 7, and let's read a little bit further. Jesus says, don't judge lest you be judged. Now, he's going to give you three reasons why not. Three reasons why this crino, this hypercritical judging of motivations without all the information is wrong. Number one, because you're not the final judge. You're not the final judge. Judge not that you be not judged. Whenever you judge someone like this, you are placing yourself and others in the wrong role. God is the judge. He's the final authority. Here was the problem. The Pharisees had a method. They set their own standards. They made up their own rules, quite apart from the written word of God, and they judged others by their own standards, all the while forgetting whose courtroom they were in. They were in God's courtroom. They took the position of being the judge when, in effect, it was God who would be the judge. You remember the woman who was brought to Jesus in John chapter 8 because she was caught in the act of adultery? And they brought her to Jesus to be stoned. And remember how righteous they sounded? The law commands that she be stoned to death. Did it? Is that what the law said? Yeah, sort of. But it also said that he should be stoned as well as she, right? If you're committing adultery, let's see, last time I checked, it takes two. But they only brought her. And that's why Jesus said, hey, if you're without sin, pick up the first rock and throw it at her. And they all walked away. Paul in Romans 14 said, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or he falls, and God is able to make him stand. Here's the simple truth. God is God, you are not. Okay, there's another reason why we're discouraged from judging. Verse 2, because judgment is a boomerang. Look at it. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You've heard the old saying, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Judgment is like a boomerang. You'll be hung on your own gallows. Ask Haman back in the book of Esther, who created gallows to hang Mordecai, the Jewish leader, and he was hung on his own gallows. Also, what kind of a witness is it to judge like this in a wrong fashion? Dwight L. Moody, he was an evangelist from Chicago, Illinois in the last century. Very powerful guy. I would say he was articulate in one sense. He was fiery, but he didn't pronounce words the right way. He wasn't the most educated, etc. So he was often criticized. This is what he said. You may find hundreds of fault finders among professed Christians, but all of their criticism will not lead one solitary soul to Christ. I never preached a sermon yet that I could not pick to pieces and find fault with. But I feel that Jesus Christ ought to have a far better representative than I am. Yet, I've lived long enough to discover that there's nothing perfect in this world. If you're waiting until you find a perfect preacher or a perfect church, I'm afraid you'll have to wait till the millennium arrives. So, don't judge because you're not the final judge. Don't judge because judgment is a boomerang. It'll come back at you. And number three, because that kind of judgment is hypocrisy. Look at verse 3. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, here's something interesting to note. The speck seems to be of the same substance as the plank. What this implies is that the splinter that I see in my brother's eye is of the same material that's in my own eye, only his is smaller and mine's bigger. Which brings up a point. The reason I can spot certain sins so easily is because they're my sins. I become sensitive to them. Example, David committed adultery. You know the story. The prophet Nathan came to David and told him a little parable about a guy who was poor and a guy who was rich. And the guy who was poor had only one little pet lamb, and the guy who was rich had flocks. But the rich guy took the poor guy's lamb and killed it and gave it to his friends for supper. You know what David said? He said, the man who did that will surely die. What? Die? Let's see. The law required restitution. You pay the guy back. You don't kill a guy for killing a lamb. Why was David so harsh? Because we are always harsh with the sins that are lurking in our own heart. David had the beam and he saw a speck. And he was sensitive to it. And there's only one word for that kind of behavior. Jesus says it in verse 5. Hypocrite. Hypokritos. Actor. Pretender. A cranky old grandpa visited his family. It was Sunday afternoon and he was tired. He took a nap inside the house. His grandson, for a joke, took a little piece of Lindberger cheese and smeared it on grandpa's mustache while he was taking a nap. When Grandpa woke up, he stood up and he said, this room stinks. He walked down into the hallway, went into the kitchen, said, this room stinks too. And he walked through the house and he said, the whole house stinks. He walked outside and he shouted at the top of his lungs, the whole world stinks. Isn't it amazing how good we are at smelling other sins? It's because we're familiar with that smell ourselves. We're seeing something that's in our own hearts. Okay, all of that then is judging the wrong way. That's fault finding. That's sin sniffing. What about judging the right way? Yes, there is a right way to judge. Remember, John chapter 7, Jesus said, judge ye a righteous judgment. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, don't remove a fly from your friend's forehead with a hatchet. It's good advice. You might say, keeping that in mind, don't try to remove a speck from your brother's eye when you got a big pine tree hanging out of your eye. Excuse me, you have a little speck. So, what's the right way? Look at verse 5 again. Be a helper to your brother. Be a helper to your brother. Here it is. First, remove the plank from your own eye. It's good advice. Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. When we confess our own sins, when we deal with our own sins, it helps other people because we're more interested then in restoring them than destroying them. We deal with our own. We confess our sins. David did this. He writes in Psalm 51, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and after he learned his lesson, he prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then I will teach transgressors your way. You follow how that goes? Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Then I will teach transgressors your way. So you remove first the plank, and then you deal with the speck. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, if a brother is overtaken in any fault or trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Listen to it in the New Living Translation. If a Christian is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. I have a brother in Palm Desert who's a golf pro. And he'll take golf clubs and he'll describe them. He describes the new drivers as being more forgiving than the older drivers. It's an interesting term, more forgiving. What he means is that they're you know, have you seen golf clubs? They're about this big these days. You couldn't miss a ball if you tried. And the idea is that you make it light and hollow so that if you hit the ball off of either the toe or the heel a little bit, since the sweet spot is enlarged, you can let it go relatively straight. The older clubs were narrow and had a tiny sweet spot. And I heard him describe those clubs and I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if Jesus' church had a big sweet spot and were like the new golf clubs, more forgiving, more apt to forgive rather than to judge. Finally, look at verse 6. We come to a close, not only by helping your brother, but by being discerning to your neighbor. He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now, this sort of startles us, doesn't it? Because of what Jesus just spoke against, he says, don't judge people, and there's beams and motes and specks, and don't cast your pearls before pigs. Don't give what's holy to dogs. You go, whoa! Well, this now shows us the balance. There are times that we must make discerning judgments with people. Remember Jesus called Herod that fox, and he called Pharisees brood of vipers, whitewashed tombs. So there are times when judgments are necessary. Here's the big picture of these first six verses. Be forgiving, be loving, but be discerning, because some people trample the truth. Be loving, be forgiving, but be discerning, because some people trample the truth. By the way, Jesus uses the term dogs. Don't think of your pet. The term he used in this text were those wild mongrel scavengers that went from garbage dump to garbage dump in ancient cities. The point is, be careful what you say to certain people because they love to blaspheme. Now, I want to close considering this. This is what Jesus said. What about what Jesus did? How did Jesus himself implement his own teaching of being helper or discerner with different groups of people? That helps. First example is at the beginning of his ministry. Second example is at the end of his ministry. At the beginning of his ministry, he's in Jerusalem. He's attracting a lot of attention. Crowds are following him. They're coming out to see him. But it says this in John chapter 2, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them because he knew all men. Now, the very next verse introduces us to chapter 3 of John. That was John chapter 2. John chapter 3, we meet a guy named Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus at night. And he's inquiring and he's following Jesus too. And Jesus opens up and shares truth with him. Why? Because he was genuinely inquiring. They, the crowd, were not. It was discernment. He would be casting pearls before swine with the crowd, but he was discerning enough to help Nicodemus. Here's another example. At the end of Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem, he had a trial before Pontius Pilate and another before Herod. When he stood before Pontius Pilate, though at first he was silent, eventually Jesus spoke of truth and spoke of the kingdom that was coming. But he stood before King Herod, who wanted to see Jesus do some miraculous trick, and Jesus didn't speak a single word. He was discerning. He shared truth with one. He didn't say a thing with another. So, all of that to say, pray that God will give you discernment when and how to speak, even confront people, when to open the mouth and when to close it. A closed mouth gathers no feet, it's been said.
The point being that we want to be careful in how and when we judge or offer a critique to our fellow believers. If we aren't careful, we become more of a hindrance than a help. And that's all the time we have for today. But before I remind you how to get a copy of today's teaching, here's information on a special offer for our first-time listeners.
If this was your first time to join us here on The Connection, we'd love to hear from you and thank you for joining us with a free gift. So contact us today, and in return, we'll send you a free message from Skip Heitzik called A Firm Step and a Strong Back.
If you truly believe in His name, you will suffer for Him at some point. Now, this is something, incidentally, we don't really tell young converts, do we? Kind of hide that from them. Because it's bad PR, right?
This message is absolutely free to anyone who contacts us for the first time this month. So send your letters to P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87109. Or call us at 1-800-922-1888. We look forward to hearing from you and hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity to receive a free bonus teaching from Skip Heitzik. Just call 1-800-922-1888.
Now, if today's message was one that spoke to your heart or was one that you think might help someone you know, you can order a copy of it when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Or when you visit connectionradio.org. Each copy of today's teaching is just $6. That includes shipping. But keep in mind that anything you can share above that amount will really help us as we bring these daily studies to you and others all over the world. So call today, 1-800-922-1888, or visit connectionradio.org. And let me remind you about Skip Heitzig's website. That's skipheitzig.com. On it, you can follow Skip's travels, photos, and blog on the web at skipheitzig.com.
And make the connection.
Most of us pray on a regular basis. So have you ever wondered whether or not God ever answers those prayers? Or if God ever really answers us back when we talk to Him? We'll take a closer look at that question next time. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications.